Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got him for you.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more. Now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia, yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
It's now time to take a drive around the SEC.
Brought to you by Love Chevy. Act now for spectacular savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Just let that baseline kick in for a little bit.
No, it's nice. I just throw it up there, loops around on its little 3-minute loop there. We're all good.
I mean, the ITG band is just, I'm not saying we're in the Grammy conversation yet, but maybe around the corner. You never know. I mean, you never know. Yeah, lose Jamie too? We shouldn't have some recognition here.
It's just the two of us for the moment. JB will be right back.
It's the Morgan Mullinax Power Hour presented by Patterson and Ryan Brewer Fence. And of course, it's the Love Chevy Drive around the SEC, Ben Hoover and the terrific staff over there in Columbia and Harbison, home of the $1,000 low price guarantee. Simply put, if you're looking for a new Chevy car, truck, SUV, there's only one place to go. That is Love Chevy. All right. We're going to start. I got a lot of football here and a lot of basketball here and a little bit of baseball here. Dealer's choice. Jamie is back. I'll let the two of you vote on it here. Where do you want me to start? No problem.
Had to get a quick snack. I didn't want to eat on the air. It's not polite.
I used to have a co-host that would do that, would eat with his microphone on. Like, dude.
What? Oh, yes. No.
You gotta clean that up, man.
Come on, man.
Like, far be it for me to teach a course on manners, but people don't want to hear you on the air. It's not a good sound. Not a good sound. I'll answer my own question. I'll start off with a little SEC baseball.
You know what?
I'm going to go with C.
Take C. That's right. Take C.
Baseball it is. Okay. Last night, you know how I feel about some of the midweek games. I don't get obsessed with the midweek games. Obviously, we talked about Carolina's win over Citadel. Florida had a win over Jacksonville last night. Caglione hit a home run 517 feet. I talked about Charlie Condon of Georgia on Monday. So those two are kind of – they're going neck and neck for not just – best offensive year in the SEC, but historic year. Caglione set the modern day record with 33 home runs last season. Condon's already sitting on 24, and he is, I mean, his numbers are just eye popping. He's going to put together one of the best seasons in the history of the sport. Not bad for a preferred walk on.
Can I add a quick note to that?
Yeah, please do.
That home run is the farthest home run ever hit in the StatCast era, Major League Baseball or college baseball.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I just knew it was the farthest one ever hit at that ballpark, which has only been around a few years.
Yeah. StatCast era.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, he's a beast. I mean, he hits tape measure home runs and he can hit 99 on the radar gun as a pitcher.
Yeah.
Condon is 6'6". I'd love to know, like, what was missing from him in the recruiting process coming out of high school, where the kid's a preferred walk-on and has to redshirt before he sees the field. I mean, it could be a late bloomer. It could be like a Dalton Connect in basketball. I don't know. Nothing late bloom about Big Z. Zvonimir Ivicic. I had a chance to call his breakout game against Georgia this year. It kind of went viral. He finally got free and, by the NCAA, that is, and just went off, and he's hitting threes, he's throwing behind the back passes, he's doing everything. But then, like so much of Cal's team last year, things just didn't seem to fit. You're just surrounded by all these lottery picks and first round guys, and it's like, well, where do we got two other 7-footers, one of which has already transferred, and Aaron Bradshaw to Ohio State. Well, Big Z, 7'2" center from Croatia, has taken his talents. I can't say that in Croatian. He is going to Arkansas. He's going to follow Cal there. He's a really good kid, a fun player to watch. That's a big, cause he'll get playing time there. They just didn't know how to incorporate him into a stacked Kentucky lineup. That news, of course, comes on the heels of top 50 recruit Cam Scott releasing his letter of intent from Texas. He reopened his recruitment, and the big news of the morning, he of course is going to be a South Carolina Gamecock. Oh, by the way, you guys have heard of Nick Pringle?
Yeah.
Nick Pringle becomes the fifth Alabama player to enter the portal. 6'9", 6'10", wiry big, played really well for Alabama down the stretch during their Final Four run. Although at times he was just kind of like, I don't want to say in the doghouse, but he would flash and he wouldn't play. He would flash and he wouldn't play. He's out of Seabrook, South Carolina. Now, he's already been to Wofford, played JUCO, and now Bama the last couple of years. I'm here to tell you, and I have no inside information on this, he better most of the bigs at Carolina right now. Like, that would be a good get in the portal. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
The SEC baseball slate, I did want to mention this. Ole Miss is at Georgia. Tennessee's at Kentucky. Auburn is at Mississippi State. Florida at Vanderbilt. Florida's lost 5 out of 6. That was like a headline series at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure what it looks like now. A&M at Alabama. LSU at Missouri. And, of course, Arkansas at Carolina. A huge opportunity for the Gamecocks to make a statement. And as we talked about this second half, there's going to be some teams that spike. There's some that are going to hit a wall. There's plenty that'll just stay right in the middle. Which one will Carolina be? We shall find out. Going to football. I thought this was interesting. Just there's so much talk about offense every year. This was a poll provided by CBS Sports. The top 20 defenses, we've got five of them hailing from the SEC. Now, everybody and their grandmother is going to guess Georgia, Alabama. And you'd be right. Georgia 1, Alabama 6. You want to take a shot, gentlemen, at the other three? Jamie, we'll start with you, sir.
Texas.
Correct. Number 8.
Missouri.
Even though they lost the human eclipse, Devondre Sweat will be a first rounder.
That's a good point. What'd you say, Phil? Missouri?
Missouri.
No. It's a great guess, but remember, Missouri is about to get raided by the draft.
Oh, their yeah, that's corners, true. Yeah, they lost all. Lineup. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That defense, right. And they lost their coordinator, by the way. Mm-hmm. Missouri is going to be a lot of things this year on offense. I do not think they're going to be nearly as good on defense.
I would say A&M too, but they lost so much to the portal.
But A&M is 14, so they're in this list because they got a lot in the portal. So they lost guys like Warren Nolan to A&M, to Ole Miss, but then they got a bunch of guys. So the portal very often is like a net sum gain. You're going to lose some, but many of these elite programs are going to gain some. So that's what A&M did. They flushed out guys that were just continually looking for an extra buck and didn't really want to be there in the first place. And they brought in guys that they think can make a difference. So this particular poll by CBS has...
I'd say Tennessee's the last one, by the way.
That was going to be my guess as well.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
Ooh.
Okay. Nope. Georgia 1, Bama 6, Texas 8, A&M 14. Who's 19?
Kentucky?
Nope.
I don't know. Florida would be my last Hail Mary, but that's about
Kentucky
it.
Got two big portal grabs from Georgia. Ole Miss. And again, they got Warren Nolan from A&M. They were the biggest portal winner.
Yeah.
Out there. So Georgia, Bama, Texas, A&M, Ole Miss. I get it. It's just another poll. But if you look at the personnel, it's justifiable. Like it's very justifiable. There's other names that, certainly could get in there. This is from Will Backus of CBS Sports. Some SEC guys that really flashed over last Saturday's crop of spring games. Arkansas running back Jaquindon Jackson. Of course, they lost Rocket Sanders to Carolina. The quarterback turned ball carrier quietly transferred to Arkansas from Utah. Looks like a great fit. 6'2", 235. Tallied 3 touchdowns in their spring game. Graham Mertz is going to be the guy for Florida at quarterback, but DJ Lagway is their star recruit, and naturally he played in the spring game. And yes, he looked good. He ran the offense opposite Mertz, managed 12 completions, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big physical freak type of kid. They're pinning a lot of things on him after Mertz goes. Georgia wide receiver Dominic Lovett. Transfer from Georgia from Missouri in 2023. Solid first year with the Dogs. 54 catches, 613 yards, 4 touchdowns. Well, he had a great spring game. 7 grabs, 104 yards. Looked like he's going to be very... I mean, remember now, they lose McConkey and they lose Brock Bowers. That's a pretty big hole, two big holes to fill.
That's probably 70% of their receiving production.
Yeah, no question. No question. So guys like Dominic Lovett are certainly going to be called upon. Two more for you. LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier, the Nuss bus. I know JC's not a huge Nuss guy. He's stepping in, of course, for Jaden Daniels. Immense expectations have been levied upon him. He's a redshirt junior. He's one of those kids that did not bail in an era of the portal. Garrett Nussmeier could have been a starter for about 100 Division I schools. He stayed. Yeah, he connected on all 7 of his passes, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Alabama wide receiver Jeremy Bernard, who signed with Michigan State in 2022 and then transferred to Washington. He's now at Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. And as they're trying to find a solidified number one guy, he looked like he might be it during their spring game. 3 grabs and 122 yards. He's a burner. He can help stretch the field, and that's what he'll be called upon to do. And that is your Love Chevy. Drive around the SEC. Maestro, take it away.
Brought to you by Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
I love his voice. I love that voice.
Together, let's drive.
Yeah, let's drive. By the way, JC is out the rest of the day with a meeting at Garnet Trust headquarters, a.k.a. the University of South Carolina. So,
does he put on a suit for that?
I don't know if he puts on anything.
Does he roll up? Like, does he go to Brent Skinner and get a three-piece? Or is he like, what's his name, Zuckerberg?
I've always
in a hoodie and flip-flops?
I've always taken,
I imagine he'll acquire more a three-piece of some sort on the way in there, but I don't think he's wearing it.
He'll show up with a three-piece wearing a one-piece. Think about that.
Okay. A onesie.
Yeah, I don't know. You just, I don't know.
I mean, you know, it is business. When it's about business,
it is indeed business.
Yes. You got to shed the t-shirt and then the shorts and the jeans. You got to dress the part.
Yeah.
We're all used to seeing JC casual. I'm just wondering, does he clean up?
A business casual, JC. That's probably casual. What it is.
Yeah, golf, maybe a golf
business
shirt.
Casual affair. Yeah,
he good for his wedding.
Collar.
Yeah, I looked great for his wedding. Yeah. No, he's capable. Trust me, he's more than capable. I'm just wondering when he packed. I'm sounding like Cruise and A Few Good Men. You know, so when you packed, did you bring your essentials? Did you bring your bathroom bag? Did you? What did JC pack? A suit? Is he going dress casual, you know, golf shirt, maybe a pair of Blue Delta dress jeans, you know, because he's high dollar like that.
Hey, I bet he's bedecked with his Britain's gear. He's got one of those nice polos on, that great pair of pants.
Okay,
that
there you go.
Acquired, and their Britain's on Divine. Probably tired Mr. Sherbert for this big meeting for him.
Yeah. Belt on, though, shirt tucked in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you're talking business, you got to have the shirt tucked, belt fastened, somewhat cleanly shaven.
Yeah.
He got a haircut last week. So, yeah.
Product in the hair, a little mousse it up.
Business.
Business.
So I can't, for some reason, can't get the moment out of my head when we sat down at that Cuban restaurant in Florida. And the guy was like, what would you like to drink? Well, I'll take a bourbon. No, you want mojitos. No,
that's right. Mojito or margarita? No.
Mojito?
Sangria. We'll have mojito then.
Well, why didn't you ask if I wanted a mojito or a sangria? Apparently what I want to drink.
I'll do
I'm
a
so
bourbon.
Sorry
man.
I missed no. that. I had no. to do a game, but I could, and that's a very reputable place, by the way. That's a famous Cuban.
It was good.
Yeah,
the food was good.
He scouted well, but I would just love to see that motley crew walking in there, and those guys back in the kitchen going, "Look at these gringos!" Oh
well,
my goodness.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, somebody back there is like, you know, they'll never know that this isn't. Yeah.
No,
give them. Do you think we should put pork in there or squirrel? Give them the squirrel. They won't know the difference.
That's right. Yeah, nobody in that room could have attested to whether or not that was authentically Cuban.
Just give them some pheasant tacos. They won't know the difference.
Hey, I would know what that tastes like. I like pheasant. I'm a pheasant guy. Got to go to the squirrel.
I know people that hunt it on a regular basis. Gabe Gross was a guy that I worked with a lot. He's now coaching at Auburn, but he's a big hunter. Yeah. Big, and he loved taking down the geese and the pheasants. Something else.
Quail.
That's it. Yeah, quail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Generally, when you hunt pheasant, you hunt quail too. Like if you go on a guide,
okay,
they'll put out quail and pheasant. Pheasant. Once they get going, you know they're gone, but they're pretty slow to get off the ground. So if you have any idea what you're doing with a gun in your hand. Once they start moving, you can kind of blow those suckers into smithereens. But if they get up and get going, you know, get out of there in a hurry. So anyways, it's 1:25. We will hit our quick final timeout and then we'll take you commercial free the rest of the way home. We are 4 months and 1 week from the start of college football. August the 24th starts college football this year. For those that haven't glanced at it, the opening weekend has some pretty big ball games being played. And we should be here in the next few weeks getting kick times for the first 3 weeks of the season across the country, namely the SEC. We do know one kick time for sure. So who wants to talk some college football, y'all? Are people ready to talk about games yet? We're getting to the end of spring. And
I mean, you notice every time we do a love drive around the SEC, I'm bringing football into the equation.
Yeah.
That's a non-negotiable.
Well, we won't negotiate it. We'll do it. Hang tight.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet, the best selection of new Chevys, the lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power of love. Love Chevy.
Hey, Gamecock fans. This is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Hey, Gamecock Nation. My name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
April 17th, Palm Casual. We're talking about, look at that. Mike's gone. We just get to stare at Kathy Ireland. Phil, what could be better than this? We come back from break. Yeah.
I mean, Kathy Ireland, I didn't remove him from the screen. I figured we'd all be, you know. Yeah. That's her.
No, Mike, no. No, don't sit down. Don't. Not in front of Kathy.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, that's right. Just throw your headphones on and walk away. No.
Mike, could you move slightly to your right?
Sorry. Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah, there you go.
I am not the eye candy of this. Yeah. I figured that would catch your attention today.
Yeah, love Kathy. And
I've told you the story where she joined me on the show. Yeah, oh, yes. That's still an all-timer.
Love
that. And that was before the day and age of – now, I've got a picture. In fact, that'll be my backdrop maybe next week. Got a picture of me and her with headphones on, and she actually did a liner for me, and it's somewhere in the archives, like on a CD or something. But it was before picture phones, so I didn't have like – I just had that one shot. Nowadays, you kidding me? I'd have everybody at the station like taking – 50 different angles at shot.
Oh yeah,
dude.
And this is when she was on top of the Neverland. Freaking world.
Yeah.
And I thought she was going to be some snob. And I was like, I wasn't even that excited about it. I can't explain. Maybe it was just, I was going through a thing or something. Like, yeah, Kathy Iron's going to come by. She's going to promote the Myrtle Beach golf tournament. And she wants to join you on the show. And I'm like, yeah, that's all I need. You know, we're gonna break away from what people want to hear. So I've got Kathy Ireland pumping up something or other, and then she rolls up in a limousine. And for those from Columbia that knew the old station off of Greystone Boulevard, it was built on stilts because it was in a floodplain. There were snakes underneath the building all the time. Just a crappy old building. It should have been condemned, and eventually was. And she rolls up in a limo. And high heels and decked to the nines and walks in, and I'm just like, whoa, hubba hubba. And I don't remember what I said during that 30 minutes or whatever it was, but quite a highlight.
Yeah.
Quite a highlight.
That's right.
Me and that Veronica Vaughn got hit on. No, you didn't. No, it didn't.
No, you didn't.
Man, ever. Like, come on.
That Farley.
Speaking of, yeah.
And
that was Billy Madison.
Oh, it's Billy Madison. Oh, that's right. But it is Farley. Madison.
Yeah. Me and that Veronica Vaughn got it.
Bus driver.
No, you did. Who eats 30 bag lunches?
God,
I could quote the entire movie. I literally could quote that entire movie.
He was so talented.
Oh yeah,
lost him way too early. Went the Jim Belushi route or the John Belushi route. Jim is still with us, but not
Jim still with us. John was John. You could eat as many bag. Do what, Phil? Oh, sorry.
Confirming John. Yeah.
You could eat as many bag lunches as you'd like on Palm Casuals Furniture in 29 days, and then on the 30th day you can return it if you don't like it. Bag lunch a day for 29 straight days. Don't like it. Bam, not comfortable enough. Take it back. Check in hand. You walk away. Now, we don't encourage you to do that. We're talking about football. Everybody likes to have a nice outdoor space for football, right?
Heck yeah.
See? Look at that. We're getting into the summer. You want to have a nice outdoor space so you can, you know, smoke a bud out there or... you know, do some burgers and dogs one night for your kids. Have the TV. The furniture you got is off Amazon. You sat on it. You sat through it. You fell through it. Bam. You've had it for 6 months. Spent $500 you shouldn't have. You're going to have to spend a little more at Palm Casual, but you can have it for the rest of your life. It's guaranteed. And also, so is your money for 30 days. PalmCasual.com. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated, not just in the state of South Carolina, by the way. They're in Florida. They're in Georgia. But there are four locations in South Carolina as well. So I just, with spring games wrapping, Carolina will be the last to do so in the SEC on Saturday night. You turn to, as a fans, right? They turn to, shoot, what's next? Well, for me, nothing. Carolina baseball season. I got plenty to do. I love college baseball. But for the football fan, what's next is, well, then you're going to get some kick times that will be announced. You've got, they just announced yesterday, that, you know, the Chick-fil-A tournament, the golf tournament's coming up. You've got SEC, quote unquote, spring meetings that will be coming up here in May. And then You look down the road a little bit, and what do you have? You got Media Days, which this year I believe is in Dallas.
Yeah.
Memory serves me correct.
Yeah, it's going to price a lot of people out covering that. Yeah.
Right in the center of SEC country, you know, Dallas, Texas. And then after that, believe it or not, fall practice opens, and then here we go. And we kick off this year on August the 24th. Now, we don't have all the kick times, like I mentioned. Those will be coming soon. But there are interesting games if you haven't taken the time just yet to look ahead to weeks one and two of the college football season. For what it's worth, on Saturday, August the 24th, in Dublin, Georgia Tech and Florida State will be playing football, guys. In Dublin, Ireland, again, this year. There's another notable game on August the 24th. You sure would. It's an ACC game, kind of. It's got an ACC team playing in it. Well, wait, Jamie, didn't you just say that? Georgia Tech and Florida State? I did. But this one involves SMU, notable ACC program. SMU, Atlantic Coast Conference, SMU, on the road in Nevada to play it in Reno. Who doesn't want to play in Reno, Nevada on August the 24th?
SMU's not missing out. No,
that's our first look at one of these new ACC programs here in 2024, guys, on that very first weekend. So you've got the ACC in Dublin. I mean, think about this for a second. You've got the ACC playing a game in Dublin, Ireland that maybe Mike will be calling. Who knows? And then you've got SMU, ACC SMU at Nevada in Reno, Nevada, the opening weekend of college football.
I got to tell you, I've actually been to SMU's campus to call a game back when June Jones was the coach. We talked about this on JC and Morgan. I'm fascinated by the whole SMU thing because I look at SMU and I look at UCF. I have friends that went to UCF. We used to make fun of their athletic program, right? It's this big commuter school. They're in Orlando, but they played in a rinky dink. Well, actually, they used to play in the Citrus Bowl. They played their 1AA. Their basketball was in a conference called the TAC. They took their lumps. They were everybody's homecoming opponent. They had to schedule to make money. Now they're in the Big 12. And I guarantee you there will be a season where they win that conference. And there's a good chance if they win that conference, they'll be in an expanded playoff. I look at SMU, and they – the only program to actually have the death penalty, which is not really appropriately named because they don't completely kill you off. They just cripple you. Should have been called the severely crippling penalty. And they severely crippled SMU for a couple of decades. They would never resemble the Pony Express days. They have so much money and so much commitment. They're in a major metropolitan city, a la UCF in Orlando. Mm-hmm. There's just enough tradition there. And now they're in a Power 5 or 4 conference. Look, crystal ball, who knows? But 5 years from now, could SMU be competing for higher stakes? I think so. I think they could, you know, if Baylor can do it, you know, you could make parallels to those two private schools in the state of Texas. Why not SMU would be the question. You know, why not have Eric Dickerson say, bring me your 4 stars, bring me your 5 stars. We can pay you all. And I'll tell you one other interesting thing about the ACC. We went over this as well. You want to know the biggest difference between the SEC and the ACC in quarterback play in 2024? And before you go, well, the SEC is better. Yeah, I mean, it is, but that you could
just
say
just quarterback play,
just quarterback play. Like if I were to tell you, here are the top 10 ACC quarterbacks, and Phil knows the answer because he heard the show, and the top SEC 10 quarterbacks, what distinction do you think would be there between the two? One thing that just I just stumbled upon this, but it jumps out as a major distinction.
I don't know.
Eight of the top 10 SEC quarterbacks are homegrown, right? Carson Beck, not a portal guy.
Yeah.
Right? Quinn Ewers technically signed at Ohio State, but he's only played for one school, and that's Georgia. Jalen Milroe, Alabama. Now Jackson Dart is a rare exception, transferred from Southern Cal. But you go down the list of SEC, Brady Cook, Missouri, almost all of them are homegrown. Of course, that's what Lenoris Sellers is. Now, Lenoris is not on anybody's top 10 list yet, but he certainly could be if he performs the way everybody hopes that he shall. Mm-hmm. In the ACC, Journeyman Central, okay? Cam Ward, Miami, went to Incarnate Word in Washington State.
Yeah.
DJ Uiagalelei, Clemson, Oregon State. Haynes King, A&M before Georgia Tech. Kyron Drones, Baylor for 2 years before Virginia Tech. Kyle McCord, Ohio State to Syracuse. Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina to NC State. Channel Rogers of Cal, this is my favorite. Southern Miss, Blinn Community College, Louisiana Monroe, North Texas. Now he's a Cal Bear because clearly they care about the education. 10, Malik Murphy of Duke, former Texas Longhorn. Only two homegrown products of those top 10. Kay Klubnik of Clemson, second year now under Garrett Riley, offensive coordinator. And SMU's Preston Stone, who was a four-star kid out of Dallas and certainly could have gone to a much bigger, more successful program. He chose SMU. He stayed at SMU. And now he gets to play under a bigger spotlight in the ACC. But I thought that was interesting. I don't know if there's another conference in college football that has that many journeymen under center leading the way.
Well, it begs the question, and we don't know, and the answer will come in sometime in the middle of the fall, but what group's better? I mean, I think it's the SEC. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's the SEC. I mean,
but there are transfers in the SEC. They're all just towards the bottom of the list.
They're all to the bottom. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. If you go 11 through 16 in the SEC, full of journeymen.
All
and that doesn't mean they're bad.
Sellers the only one that's not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Sometimes the guy that's a journeyman out of the portal is better, you know. I mean, let's not forget Joe Burrow was out of the portal from Ohio State.
Like, doesn't I would love to see some real data on this at some point in time. Somebody's got it. Like, how many transfer quarterbacks end up being a hit and how many end up being a miss? And how do you define that? You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm struggling with is what's the definition there? Because, you know, you might be a hit, but you may be on the bench if you transferred, you know,
well,
say,
Rattlers,
as a redshirt freshman. And, you know, next thing you know, you're an investment and you're not a hit for 2 years.
If Carolina didn't have Rattler a transfer last year, that's a 3-win team.
Well, and so, they wouldn't go to a bowl the year before either.
Correct.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you quarterbacks are the, you know, they're the unicorn. They're the hot commodity. Can you get it? Your starting quarterback. See, we only pay attention and discuss the transfer quarterback that has a bunch of success. It's very rare that we sit here and give you all the information on a transfer quarterback that's not having success, because if he's not playing, A, or B, the team's not very good, or both. But, like, DJ Uiagalelei is a really interesting case. He goes to Oregon State, has a better career. Now he's back in the ACC. Well, but he wasn't good at Clemson. Like, he was bad. He was bad at Clemson.
Yeah.
He was bad.
Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
No?
Nope.
But change of scenery and maturity, he figured it out. I think he'll do just fine at Florida State.
Do you?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I do. Oh. But that's supporting. Now, they did lose a lot to the draft, not the portal, but I think he'll do fine.
What is Georgia Tech? Because these two teams open in Dublin, Ireland, and I know Tech won 7 games. I mean, they beat UCF in the bowl game.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Coach Key did a terrific job.
Almost beat Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia kind of, you know, they kind of tap dance with them a little bit. And it's like, okay, now it's time to put the switch on and take care of business, that they did. But yeah, they were an overachiever last year. And again, without Haynes King in the portal, they would have been hurting. So the portal for quarterbacks, for programs that traditionally don't recruit very well, Georgia Tech being one of them, that is a godsend. That's an absolute gift. So a lot of these programs I'm mentioning in the ACC, they don't recruit great quarterbacks. They need to go to the portal, or they're impatient to the point where Florida State can certainly recruit four-star quarterbacks, maybe an occasional five-star. But do you want to roll out another 19-year-old and roll the dice and see if he's ready? Or do you want the proven commodity right off the bat? So you bring in DJ, and I don't blame coaches for going for the sure thing. I mean, that's what they're doing in basketball left and right.
Right.
That's what older is better in basketball.
What would the likelihood be of Florida State getting beat in that game in Ireland?
I don't see it. I think
new quarterback.
It's possible. I just think Florida State, their overall talent on the line of scrimmage, their overall speed on defense and on the outside will be too much. And this is not the kind of game like in week six where Georgia Tech sneaks up on somebody like they do every year. This is week one, where they've been preparing for this game for months. And my guess is Florida State will be ready.
More interesting matchup. And there's two different levels of football here. But what is the more interesting matchup to begin the season? Miami at Florida or Georgia versus Clemson in Atlanta?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I missed the first part.
What is the more interesting matchup?
Yeah.
Georgia and Clemson in Atlanta or Miami at Florida to begin the season?
I think it's Georgia and Clemson. I mean, I don't think Miami and Florida are competing for much this year, to be honest with you. I mean, Billy Napier will be
their jobs. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, Billy Napier is going to be, I mean, I don't think if Miami, you can fire Cristobal right now, but Florida is certainly, there are missiles. It's DEFCON 1. To make a War Games reference, Dimer.
Like, what if they lose that game, Mike? What if Florida gets beat by Miami in the swamp on August 31st?
It'll just charge up the fire Billy Napier campaign that is already out there. I mean, it's 100% real.
Is it realistic to think that there's – no, let me not say it that way. That's a poor way to put this. But my understanding – is that Florida, there's no problems down there. If they get a quarter of the way into the year and it's just putrid, they don't have a problem saying, we've had enough. We'll move. Like, this isn't an end of the year deal. They'll fire him in the middle of the year.
Right. I mean, I've never really found the benefit of firing a head coach in the middle of the year. Now, late in the year, if the wheels are just completely coming off, like when Ray got rid of Will, It was the right time. Like it was so toxic and it got so bad, you needed a move. So I don't think you gain anything by firing a coach in week three. But I can tell you, if they lose that game, and I think their first SEC challenge.
It was A&M week three.
Yeah, that's right. But that's a home game, but a very losable game. Yeah,
they're at home the first 3 weeks of the year.
Right.
They got Stanford in week two. They'll beat Miami and then get beat by Stanford in week two, naturally.
Yeah. Now, if you want, the spin doctors are going to be like, we could easily go 5-0. And then what? I don't think anything is going to come easy to that Florida team. You know, there's two coaches that are clearly on, not a hot seat, a scalding seat. And that is Billy Napier and Sam Pittman. I honestly don't know if anybody else in the SEC is really on a legitimate hot seat. I'm not saying something can't happen, but I don't think a legitimate hot, like every fan base, we talk about this all the time, 10,000 foot view from above, you're not the only ones with problems. And you're not the only ones that are wondering, okay, how come we can't win more games? How come we can't get over the hump? How come this? How come that? Fire this guy, fire that guy, fire everybody. That's universal. But in terms of like truly, this is DEFCON 1. This is right around the corner if things don't get better soon. It's Florida and Arkansas. I don't think anybody else is even close.
100%
agree. Venables next.
Yeah.
Would he be the third warmest seat in the SEC?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Let's say
they lay an egg in Norman. And
everybody else in the West is brand new to their program. Yeah,
there's a lot of new, and I think you give a lot of the new guys a pass, although I will put the caveat up. Let Alabama miss a bowl game, and DeBoer's gone.
I don't think they're going to go 5-7 in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't think so either. But
I will say this. If they miss the playoff, he won't get fired, but he will quickly.
Oh, yeah,
well, now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Alabama's actually going to be very good this year.
Oh, I do too.
You bring up a good question. I hadn't really thought about Venables in year three. I was out there in year one, and everything went to hell in a handbasket, and the media was piling on. A lot of people don't like Brent Venables. Anybody who shows their faith these days, you're an open target, if we're just saying the quiet part out loud. And so there was a lot of people like, he's failing, he's miserable. The fact of the matter is, Lincoln Riley left a mess. He poached all the players, took most of the best ones to Southern Cal, left a pile of steaming you-know-what behind him, and whoever was going to take over that job in year one was going to have some issues. And he did. Now, year two, they turned it around. Year three, you know, they've got their own quarterback situation. They've got their own homegrown product in Jackson Arnold. And we'll see if he turns into what he's supposed to be with the recruiting hype. But, yeah, I don't think he's on the hot seat, Phil, but I think you bring up a good point in that if things don't go well in year one of the SEC, there could be a lot of people in Norman that could get a little bit anxious and say, I don't know if this is the right fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily hot, just, you know, so it's got a little warmth under it, but yeah, I think the quiet part there that you brought up, Mike, is one of the things that could push that over the edge. And that I know there's a lot of people within the fan base who just don't like him for whatever personal reasons they have and are looking for any excuse to make a change. And, you know, if they get the money behind that mindset, then you're done. I mean, because money's what drives it anyway. So, yeah.
I mean, I personally think he's going to do a good job there.
Now, I think so, too. But how patient are they going to be?
Well, they're not patient over there. I mean, they are like your stereotypical SEC program where the fan base is just – After losses, your trigger, you know, your default position is it's not working. It's not working. Got to make a change. That's just, you know, that's going to happen in some tough losses there, particularly certain games. Like, you know, you're playing that Texas game is still a huge rivalry. You need to win that more than you lose it if you want to feel good about things at OU. Now, Lincoln Riley was the benefactor of Texas was down almost his entire tenure there. They had been classic underachievers under multiple head coaches. And so Oklahoma certainly had the better hand in that rivalry. Well, Texas is now back up. And I'm here to tell you, I think Sarkisian, like, they finally found their guy. I really believe that. I think they finally found their guy. I think the culture is back to where it should be. The resources have always been immense. And when Gamecock fans take their first trip to Austin, and I don't know if you can even do this on a game week, if you could get a tour of their facilities, do it. It's unreal. The money there is just, it's sick. Oklahoma will be cool. You'll like Norman. But Texas is just a whole other ball game. The fact that they have not been better with all those immense resources, and we're finally going to see the end of the Longhorn Network. May it rest in peace. But I mean, they had their own freaking network. Could you imagine if there was a national network on cable operators across the country that carried the Gamecock network? Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
That's the advantage they had. All their baseball games, national TV, not plus, national TV. All their non-con basketball, national TV. Every football game, national. And then a ton of shoulder programming, just reminding you 24/7 how great it is to be a Longhorn. They had that for like 15 years. That's a pretty damn big advantage. Yeah, and they raked in like $20 million a year that ESPN forked over, which ESPN now will tell you it was one of the worst investments they ever made. But at the time, it seemed like a novel concept, and ESPN was pouring out money left and right. Like, let's just buy the Longhorns, call it the Longhorn Network. Yeah, sure. $20 million a year? Check, please. Not that way anymore. Speaking of a check, if you want to get a check when something bad happens to you, the right insurance coverage will help. Gary Patterson of State Farm. When you make the right decision, it really feels good. You want to make sure you make the right insurance decision. That is why State Farm agent Gary Patterson, right there in good old South Carolina, will help you select the right protection at the right price. Gary will make sure you understand your coverage and you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Gary Patterson, talked about it for a long time now, been my guy for 20 years, been the guy for so many South Carolinians for maybe as long, if not longer, does an outstanding job. Go to GaryPatterson.net, GaryPatterson.net for all your insurance needs.
We will, of course, over the next few months, get to all of this. But in addition to Carolina and Old Dominion opening the season on Saturday, August the 31st, I mentioned earlier Miami and Florida. Georgia is at Clemson. And other notable games that weekend. This is a little off the radar, but big time barometer game from Vanderbilt as they've got Virginia Tech come into town to open the season in Nashville. And outside of that, how about Notre Dame at Texas A&M, Penn State at West Virginia, and of course that Sunday night, LSU, Southern Cal in Las Vegas. My God, there will be 40, 50,000 LSU fans in Las Vegas. God help all of us. Holy crap.
It's like Cousin Eddie in Vegas Vacation.
Holy smokes. By the way, this is kind of a, I always enjoy looking at some of the, off the radar type stuff too. Boise State makes the trip to Statesboro, Georgia to open the year against Georgia Southern. It's kind of cool.
That is cool. Great program. Mm-hmm. Spent a week there doing a baseball regional. Really cool place.
They love their baseball down there, man.
They love their baseball. They love their football. Great tradition. Irk Russell. That's a name very familiar to Georgia Southern fans. There's not much else going on in that town, but man, mm-hmm. they're all about that program. It's God's country, as they like to say.
Notre Dame at A&M is a game I can't wait to talk about.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
Heck yeah. No, this is – A&M is one of the most fascinating stories. They have been now for a couple of years, and they will still be under Coach Elko. It's going to be very interesting to see whether all that money – finally spells out more wins in College Station.
Well, that's what I'm looking at is, will all that money mixed with a ball coach, is that what they've been waiting on? Get rid of the name, humble yourself, and get you a ball coach.
I think it's more along the lines of, can you get the people out of the way who just want to stand in the way down there? Mike could probably speak on that a little bit better than we could, but they've got a lot of folks with a lot of power down there who want to be in the middle of the stuff.
Well, Auburn has that. They've had that problem for years. And for that matter, I mean, I've heard stories about going back to Mike McGee, a couple South Carolina boosters. Anytime you wanted to do anything, you couldn't scratch your back without picking up the phone and calling a certain somebody in Florence or somewhere else. Can I do this? Yeah. when you are beholden to a couple of big money boosters, it can be good and it can be bad. The good is obvious. Everybody needs money right now. The bad is sometimes the people that are writing those checks feel like they're now so well vested that they should have the power to control a lot.
Yep.
And that can really interfere with an AD, a head coach, and how everything is run. Got to be careful.
Well, you got that right. That is pretty widespread in college football and college athletics. College athletics, not mm-hmm. just college football, college athletics. Thanks coach. To Chad. Do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thanks to Chad Holbrook for joining us earlier. Thanks to JC for joining us briefly.
Collared shirt, belt, maybe some khaki pants.
Yeah, khaki pants.
Pair of penny loafers.
Khakis.
Shoes. That's where I feel like I have the biggest question. Shoes.
What's he rolling in there with?
What's he rolling in there with?
J's on his feet.
J's.
Now, that'd be a statement for old JC, I think, rolling in there with some damn J's. Yeah. I guarantee you it won't be anything Under Armour.
Yeah, that's in the news, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think happens there?
I don't know.
What do you want to happen there? Do you care?
I don't care. I could care less, Mike. I've never cared. People get so wrapped up in this stuff. Whatever. I've got Nike stuff and I have Under Armour stuff. I like both of them. I don't care.
What about Adidas?
I wouldn't care about that. I mean, A&M and Notre Dame have been okay.
Tennessee
was fine. They made it. You know, people just like, well, they want to be part of the cool club. I got news for everybody. There's a bunch of folks in the cool club that they suck too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks that wear Nike. And guess what? Doesn't change the way they play. They still suck. And one of the things that's always been ingrained in my brain are the old Nike baseball uniforms that Florida State used to wear. What the hell took them so long to get away from those silly brims? Man, we went to the straight brim 25 years ago. They still had them curled over. So did North Carolina. It was embarrassing.
In their defense, it was Tallahassee.
Yeah, but Chapel Hill? I should have asked Holbrook about that. How dumb did you feel like you looked when you looked in the mirror with those folded over brims every game?
You remember when Carolina was Russell Athletic?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember all that. Yeah,
that was a little behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that.
They needed that, to get
there's
out
an of there's an apparel argument at that point.
Yeah, that's when you're like, okay, guys.
Yeah. See? I'm a scout guy. Let's go back to Russell. Like, Russell's coming back.
No. Don't go to Russell. Don't go to Russell.
Russell's coming back? What's the other one that came back?
Those are some lean times.
Converse. There's another one that came back.
Push. Converse. Zips.
Reebok came back.
The next deal will be with Zips. If you're under the age of 40, Google it. Zips.
But see, these were the days. Like, I like Scout Guy. We need to invite him on. He's with me. Let's go back to Jefferson Pilot Sports. I love Jefferson Pilot Sports. The three Daves.
The shoddy production. The
Those were the days, man.
Well, if you go back to Jefferson Pilot, that means you're going to go back to having games with no TV.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, no, I was paying a lot more for games back in those days, watching the pay-per-views than I was not.
Be prepared to spend $29.95 or just listen to the radio.
Or listen to the radio, or, you know what? Go.
What if it's a road game?
Go.
Not everybody can afford to just pop up and leave for a road trip.
I'm one of those everybody.
Especially if it's like, you know,
I was going to say, yeah,
Norman, like, Oklahoma, like, you're going. Well, a lot of people are like, I can't make that work.
Well, that's what I presented to my family this weekend. Was I was like, all right, I want to go to one road game this year. I've got it narrowed down to two, but we can't do both. So we're either going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or we're going to Norman, Oklahoma, and I let them vote.
Yeah. If you haven't been to Tuscaloosa, you need to go.
Well, no, that's what, my vote counts for a little more than the other three.
Okay,
so,
you haven't been, you ought to do that.
That's where we're going. That's what we're planning on doing. Yeah.
When Oklahoma Week comes up, for those that just want to check out a new venue, we'll go over some eating, dining establishments, some things you can do, Not a ton. I'm not gonna lie, but you could, there's some do's and don'ts in Norman. We'll go over that Oklahoma week.
Well, I'm staying in Oklahoma City. It's only 15 minutes away. So 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Not much to do there either, to be honest with you.
No, well, we've got a couple. We'd rather, what we want to do is we're going in Thursday, and obviously I'll have the show Friday that I'll have to do from the hotel. So we're going to go in, and we want to do like one night in Norman, which will either be, depending on kick time, the night before or the night after, and then the other two nights in OKC. Because there's just more.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple things that we're going to do. But I don't want to say it because I don't want somebody who doesn't like me on here. There's a couple of them to show up in Oklahoma City and put a bullet in my head while I'm out.
Rivers. Easy. Yeah. Escalated quickly. Jeez. Well,
a couple of these guys talk to you like they hate you. So you just don't know today's world.
It's all right. It's okay, John Edward. We're not talking about you.
You'll be fine. Nothing but love in the room.
Oh yeah. Big time.
With some friendly disagreements.
Ed, I'm going to walk. We're going to walk up there.
Driving.
Electric bike.
We're going to take
there
an
you
EV.
Go. Take the electric bike down there.
Michelle's putting the got, bill.
Yeah, Michelle's going to give us a bike, and we're going to do about 60 miles a day. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but we're going to give it a crack.
You're going to be on that bike for a few weeks.
We're fine. Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't all recommend driving from South Carolina to Norman, Oklahoma.
No.
It's not going to be
fun. One day when I'm retired, when the kids are out of school, I've mentioned this to Carrie. She was lukewarm to the idea, but she doesn't have to come. One of the things I would like to do is begin the, get my camper and begin the fall, or an RV. I really want an RV so I can just drive it and not have to pull it and start. Game one's in Columbia, then game two's in Athens, and game three's back in Columbia, game four's in Columbia, then game five's in Knoxville, and game six is in Oklahoma, and just travel for the entire, don't have a home, sell a house, and just travel and just spend the week on the way to, like, so it's not like you're just sitting in a campground in Columbia all week. It's like, okay, we're going to go back to Columbia. All right, let's go to the upstate, maybe hang in a lake for 4 or 5 days, drive to Columbia. Oh, we got to go to Oklahoma. Well, let's spend 5 days getting there and stop and see stuff. Spend 3 months on the road and go see it all and watch 12 games of football.
Well, by then, at the current pace, there'll be about 20 million more Americans, so the infrastructure will be worse than ever. Traffic will be worse than ever, and you'll regret you ever got that RV.
That's a good point. And and by then, let's see, Carolina, I probably won't be any better, and I'll probably not.
Mural. This just turned into a Debbie
Downer
segment.
The SEC at that point might be the Louisiana Purchase. You might need to do that sooner rather than later.
By then, Wyoming will be in the SEC.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You'll be, hey, listen, you can go bibwack at the in-laws there and, hang out. Between that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a Mountain West football fan. That'd be better to do in the Mountain West, wouldn't it?
If it's still cruise around.
Cruise the Rockies.
Absolutely.
Thought the Rocky Mountains would be a little rockier than this.
Wyoming's all right. On my bucket list. It's one of the few states I have not been to.
It's beautiful.
It's phenomenal. Whenever you go, you let me know, and I'll tell you exactly what to do.
It's a deal.
All the little things that nobody knows about. Everybody thinks there's one town in Wyoming. Oh, man, have you been to Jackson? Yeah, I've been to Jackson, but do you realize that Wyoming has like 5 million square miles? Like... Cheyenne? Jackson's like 4 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not even the capital. It's Cheyenne. Yeah.
Exactly. People forget that all the time. Larry. It's crazy.
Go Braves. Afternoon baseball against the Stros. No Albies in the lineup. And again, still bummed about Strider, but they're still playing well. Just saying.
They sure are. We played well, too. We hope you all have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. See you then.